Dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention now to the Word of God in the New Testament, in the scripture reading in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 17, the Gospel of Luke and the 17th chapter. I commence reading from the verse 1 through to the verse 19. The Gospel of Luke, the chapter 17, the verse 1 through to the verse 19. This is the word of Almighty God. And the Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive his word. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offences will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, By and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. We'll end the public reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant and sacred word there, and we ask that the Lord might be pleased to bless that reading to our souls, and that he might speak to our hearts this evening through his word and by his Holy Spirit, without which we can understand nothing and we can apply nothing. May God come and not only humble our hearts, but teach us his holy word. Well, dear Congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to the words that I read to you in your hearing earlier there in the Gospel of Luke, and I read from the chapter 17, the verse 1 to the verse 19. With the Lord's enabling, I want to take for my text the words that we find in the verse 17 of this account, where the Lord Jesus Christ, he heals instantaneously 10 lepers. And the Lord Jesus Christ, after hearing this one leper who turns around and falls on his knees, as it were, and worships the Savior and gives glory to God, Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And with the Lord's help this evening, I want to seek to try to impress upon our minds things that come out from this passage that perhaps we've never thought before. Maybe we've read it and considered, of course, there is so much in Holy Scripture and there is so much for us to learn. But one of the first things I want us to glean as we look at this passage, this, of course, is an astounding miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only heals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, but 10 lepers instantaneously. But I think one of the most astounding and surprising things of this miracle is the astounding ingratitude of man. That surely should take us indeed by alarm this evening. It's surely astounding, isn't it, as we see this miracle. The miracle is profound. An entire company of men, of lepers, are healed in an instant. In fact, if you notice in the word there, it says, "And it came to pass," and it says, "as they went," the Greek is emphatic, instantaneously, at that very moment, they were cleansed. Not a few steps afterwards, but as they went in that direction to show themselves to the priest, at that instant, they were suddenly healed. Imagine it. Here are 10 men. They were walking with putrefying sores, bleeding. They were covered from head to toe with sores, smelling, whatever. And then all of a sudden, the Lord heals them. Instantaneously, their skin was completely anew. No blemish, no sores, no half cure, but instantly cured by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the most surprising thing of all of this passage is the utter ingratitude of the hearts of sinful men. Because we see here only one turns around. Now we may be sat here this evening and unsaved and surprised at this. But my dear friends, you are no less ungrateful than these 9. Let me put it to you this way. You live in God's world. You are His creature. And He shows you kindness every day. He gives you air to breathe. He gives you life. He gives you all things. But if you're unsaved, you've never thanked God. You've never lived a day for God. You've not glorified. Like this one man, he turns round and he glorifies God. He falls, as it were, on his face. And he thanks God. But you know, sinners walk on God's earth. They live in His world. And there is ample evidence of God. Every breath you breathe, everything you have, your body that is created, 7 major organs coming together, all working together. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's creature. You are not here by accident. You have a conscience. You know right from wrong. And yet, you do not glorify God in your life. You do not honor Him. And this has been the case ever since the fall of man. Man has lived unto himself, unthankful, unholy, living apart, separated from God. We may marvel at these lepers who were shown mercy. But friends, you are shown mercy and God's benevolence and kindness every day of your life. Yes, and I want to seek to open that up this evening from the text, as we see the great privileges that these men have had. And I believe perhaps even many here tonight, you have had exceedingly great privileges. Like the Jews, these nine are Jews. They went to show themselves before the priest. But the one who turned around, we read, was a Samaritan. He did not know the things that they knew. He did not have the teachings, the oracles of God. He did not have these things. And you see, it just shows you can have all these privileges, the teaching of God, the Word of God, the law of God. You can be brought up in a Christian home. You can be somebody that has all the privileges and know the truth, and yet still think that actually you don't deserve, or that you deserve better than you have. That's really how these men thought. Why didn't they turn around and give thanks? Why do people not give God the glory? Why do people not honor God? Well, because firstly, they're sinners, and they live a life estranged from God, and do not want to know God, and do not want to glorify God, and well, they don't want to submit themselves to God either, and they think they're good, basically. They don't like these men here, you see. Great mercy was shown them. They're crying out for mercy. Notice the whole company cries out. They lifted up their voices, that's every one of them, and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're crying out for mercy, but they believe really that this is what they needed. They have the language, "Have mercy on us," but that they really believe that what was shown to them was mercy. They had the religious talk, as so many do. "Have mercy on me." But do you believe it? Do you know who you are? Do you see yourself as a sinner that needs God's mercy? Because really that's what it comes down to. What the Lord Jesus Christ showed them here was a temporal mercy of the body. They had been racked with leprosy. And of course, we know that since the fall, illness and all kinds of diseases have come into this world because of sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we are all racked with sin to one degree or sickness or illness to one degree or another. But friends, the real mercy we need is not the healing of the body, but the healing of the soul. Because as you see here, these men are unthankful. They do not give thanks. They think they deserve the kindness that is shown to them. They're not really thankful. Not as this one man, but one of them. The verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. The moment that this man saw that he was healed, it's interesting, if you look at the language here, he did not simply turn around and whisper a gentle word to the Lord Jesus and say, "Well, thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate that." No, it says with a loud voice he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. This is the posture, friends, of somebody that really is truly somebody that sees that they have received mercy. And this is what sinners need. With a loud voice, he glorified God. As this man, he lifted up his voice to the Lord Jesus Christ, creator of all things. That is who he is standing before. Do we realize that the one he is addressing is creator of the world? The Apostle Paul says, all things were made by him and for him. Here is the one that stepped into time, space, and history and took to himself bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. Why? So that he might come under the law of God. As the Apostle Paul says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law. You see, that's not what we have done. We have lived unto ourselves. And we live lives that do not bring glory to God. We have strayed from God, from our mother's womb. And you see, this man, he sees, he knows who he is. He's a sinner and he's racked with this disease. And he realizes really what sin has brought. Sin has brought disease and death and misery. And we deserve it. And worse, we deserve hell. That's what I deserve. That's what everybody here tonight deserves. The wages of sin is not just disease and death, but the second death. To be everlastingly separated from the eternal God. Now, as I seek to expound this passage this evening, I want to make several observations and points of application. Firstly, I want us to think of these nine men who did not give thanks to God. And then secondly, I want us to think of this one man who turned and gave thanks and glorified God. Now, we don't know their names. Their names are not important. It doesn't matter. But we see these nine men, they have a religious background. They're Jews. And they knew where the Lord Jesus Christ said, go and show thyself to the priest. They knew where they had to go. They didn't ask him, well, where is the priest? What must I do? They must have known. Certainly, what Leviticus tells us, if you read in Leviticus, that there's a long section of what the lepers had to do. You see, if you were in Israel and you had leprosy, it represented the fact, and it spoke to the fact, because God is pure, holy, and leprosy is a picture of sin. And sin cannot be tolerated in God's temple. They couldn't worship there. They were separated from society. And really, that is what sin does. It separates us from God and from his people and heaven, and we cannot enter heaven with sin. And so it's a picture. And so Christ here, he heals these men. And they knew where to go. They knew to go and to show themselves to the priest. But you know what? There's no gratitude. They really think we deserve. We deserve this. And I think that this entire passage really exposes the unthankful, ungrateful, blind, willfully blind heart of man. He does not want to see he's a sinner. He refuses to see that he's a sinner. And he thinks he always deserves better. My friends, we deserve God's wrath. We have sinned against an infinitely holy God. And these men were religious. Outwardly. Really, they're saying we don't deserve to be in this state. By not thanking the Lord Jesus, you see. And that's the attitude of most people in this world. You know, even if you to show them some kindness, and I'm reminded of this in the open-air preaching when I go and preach in the town center, and telling people about this epidemic and how many people are dying, and all they want is, well, if there's a God, why doesn't he heal everybody? Well, if he did, they'd just get back on with their old lives. And that's what these men are doing. They just want to go back to the priests and get on with their lives. But there's no thankfulness to God. They don't realize the unspeakable mercy that the Son of God has shown them. At least they don't want to realize it. Well, he could have left them in their wretched state. The Son of God was not obligated to do anything for these men. And friends, I hope you realize that this evening. If you are unsaved, God is not obligated, apart from his covenant promise through his Son, to save anyone. But he is a God who delights in mercy, and he gives faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We note in this passage that this one man turns around and the Lord Jesus says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He not only experienced the power of God upon his body, but his soul, his eyes were opened up to see the fact that he is a sinner deserving of all that he has received and his illness or whatever, and worse, but the Son of God has had mercy on him and has shown extreme kindness toward him. Do you see that? I hope you do. Do you remember what God said to Adam? "Adam, in the day that thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die." Disobedience to God, an infraction against his law. And friends, there's not only the sin of Adam, and the Bible tells us we sin in Adam, but there is our own sin every day. We live in the light of the knowledge of truth, that there is a God. We have his moral law written upon our hearts, albeit on hearts of stone. Our consciences accusing us or else excusing us when we do right or wrong. We know this, and we know we have sinned. When we lie, we get embarrassed, we're ashamed. We're conscious of this. We have sinned against a holy God. And maybe you have had a religious upbringing like these Jews here. They knew, as I said, they had to go and show themselves to the priest. And you think about it, maybe you're here tonight and you've had a religious upbringing. You have a mother and a father that love God. The scriptures are read to you day after day. And you see their witness, you see the witness of others. You have, in fact, you've had the word of God read to you since you were a baby. And these Jews would have been the same. Now think of it, there are many people in this world that will never hear the word of God. This is just exposing the natural state of man. Man by nature is no different to the Jew. These men knew the scriptures. And maybe you have been brought up in a Christian home and have had the word of God read to you day after day and witnessed to you day after day. And yet, have you ever asked God to have mercy on you? Have you ever given God the glory that is due unto his name? We come here and we worship, but what is worship? It's not simply opening up a hymn and singing, but it is giving God his worthyship. That's where the word comes from. It's giving him the glory that's due unto his name. And that's what this man does. He falls on the ground and he worships and he glorifies the Son of God because he realizes he does not deserve this. And there are many, as I say, who grow up in Christian homes where God is loved and his word is loved. But they are like these nine lepers. You have even received temporal mercies. Look at some of your friends or people maybe you've known, and they don't have the privileges that you have had. But have you given thanks to God? And have you given him your heart? Do you seek to love him and serve him? Friends, let us not get on our high horses and judge these men lest we judge our own hearts first. We must judge our own hearts. You see, it's a miracle that you're not in hell, my friend. God has spared you. It is only an account of his forbearance that you are here tonight. Consider everything God has given you. There are people praying for you every day. Like these nine men, they knew so much. And like you, you know more than others. Now, Lord, what did he do? He came, it says, to his own, to the Jews, and they received him not. It's true, isn't it? But it could be true of natural man. That he comes to sinners, and there's an ungrateful heart. Instead, they, along with the Gentiles, what do the Jews cry? Crucify him. Crucify him. And really, you're not any different. Because the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to God, neither to his law. Indeed can it be. Maybe you've learned about Christ. Look, they even cry out here concerning the Savior. What do they cry? They say, and they, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. They knew something about the Savior. They knew he was able to do something. You see the ingratitude? They acknowledge the name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you know, it's like this. Many people just want a little help in life. And they cry out for mercy. Were they really crying out for the mercy that they needed? The real mercy that they needed was forgiveness of sins and a humble heart to honor and to give God his worthyship. But all they wanted was to be relieved of their malady, of their illness. And that is natural man. And maybe you've had all the privileges of hearing God's word, hearing the way of salvation, hearing, and yet you do not thank God for the truth that you've had, and you do not give him the glory in your life. I wonder, friend, if that is you here this evening. You can quote scripture. They didn't need quoting to them Leviticus 13. And you know, it was a long process they had to go through. 7 days they had to be cleared. But as soon as they were cleared, they just head off on their own way. And that's people forgetting, neglecting the very one that had made them clean. Now we know that this is of God, because only God can do such miracles, friends. Only God can do this. And I want you to see, they had all the religious talk. It says they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But friends, think of this. It's the same words as blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, what is mercy? Mercy truly is receiving something that you do not deserve. Exactly the opposite. Now, of course, this is a temporal mercy that they're shown. Healing of the body. Do you really understand what mercy is? Were they really understanding what they were asking? And do you as a sinner understand what you need to ask for this evening? Not that God will show you justice. Not that God will be fair with you. That's the worst thing you could ask for. God, be fair with me. I have a tough life. I have it hard. Help me to get through. Some people seek the Lord Jesus just as a crutch. But friends, what you need is God's mercy. You're a sinner. You stand condemned before a holy God. And you must sue for mercy. Seek him. Because he is a God that delighteth in mercy. God delights to show mercy. You seek for mercy knowing that you don't deserve it. That's precisely why it's called mercy. Isn't it? You don't ask somebody for mercy if you think they would justly and rightly give it to you, whatever it is you're asking for. I mean, it's just foolish, isn't it? Do we understand that salvation is about God's mercy? And the mercy is only through his Son. He is the only one that is able to give mercy. Because at the cross, he paid in full the debt of all that would ever believe upon him. He came to live for sinners. And he came to die for them. And they that believe upon him shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life. So we see these nine thinking they deserve this. And there are many people in churches think that they deserve to go to heaven because they've been good boys and good girls and good moms and dads, and they've gone to church and they've done this and they've done that. And somehow they think at the end of their life that God will weigh up their good deeds and their bad deeds and accept them into heaven. My friends, that's the lie of the devil. We could only be accepted through Jesus Christ, who gives mercy. And you see, this man, this humble Samaritan, he had no real religiosity or church going, as far as we can tell. He saw himself to be a sinner, hopeless and complete rank outsider. And unless you see yourself that way tonight, friend, I'm telling you, you have no hope. Unless you see that you are without any hope apart from God's mercy, you'll be lost and damned forever. But God delights to have mercy on the humble soul. All the fitness he requires is to feel our need of him. You see, this man has been healed, but he turns and he bows and he renders worship and praise. And he wants to give the Lord everything he wants to. And this is what true salvation produces. We know that we could never earn it. We could never repay God. We know that we could never repay him for his love. And what is the posture? Well, it's falling down and thanking him and living for him now. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. There's a picture of grace. He sees his unworthiness. He sees his wrath deservingness. Yes. This is the one sinners need to look to. You see, the Lord Jesus is the great high priest. It's not so much the priest that these men needed. Yes, they needed to go and show themselves so they could be accepted back in the Jewish community, but ultimately it's the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that sits at the right hand of the majesty of God on high and pleads for his people, who he died for. That is our acceptance. We're accepted in the Beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came into the world that he should be the Lamb of God slain, but then that he should be the high priest, that we are received through, and who prays for us and who intercedes for us. And how much more thankful should we be if we have been forgiven of our sins? The leprosy of our sins, friends. You know, sin is odious to God. Just as people would be offended if a leper walked up to them. The smell, the sight, our sins are odious before God. But you know, the Bible says that God sent his Son so that he who knew no sin might become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, friends, God hated sin so much that the Son of God had to come and to live for sinners. And then to bear, as Peter says, the sins of his people in his own body. And to bear the curse, the leprous sin of ours was laid upon him. And he took it away. And my friends, how can you not love such a God? How can you not love such a gracious Savior? You need God's mercy. You see, the problem is with men, it's their willful blindness. It's a willful blindness. We can't ignore that. People don't want to see this. People don't like to hear the word, I'm a sinner, I've offended God, I have no hope. That offends people. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Does it offend you? Does Christ offend you? Does the gospel offend you? Or is it good news? My friends, the Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul says, of whom I'm chief. Here was a Pharisee. Here was one who was thinking that he could be justified by keeping the law. But friends, he could not. He said, but I obtained mercy. Friends, have you obtained God's mercy? You need to sue for it. You need to go home and seek God. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. And you keep pleading until he assures you in your heart that you're forgiven. Nobody can give you assurance, but God will. He will. The question is, how sincerely and honestly do we come before him? He searches the hearts of all men, and he searches the hearts of those that come to him, and he knows whether it's sincere. Some people say, well, I want to know whether I'm elect before I can be saved. Well, you can't know that. The big issue is this: you need God's mercy. And only he can give it. I can't give it. It's of his prerogative to give it. And you sue to God. You seek him for that mercy. Because he says he delighteth in mercy. And that is a good reason to go home and to seek him tonight. And not be like these proud people who were shown such kindness. You have been shown such kindness. Maybe you have Christian friends that pray for you. Maybe you have known the Word of God. But have you given God the glory in your life? Have you thanked him that he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sinners? You stand, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that believeth not is condemned already. For he hath not believed on the Son of God. You stand tonight as a condemned sinner without mercy. But seek him, because he's gracious, he's kind. Paul says to the Corinthians, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, and such were some of you. He says, some of you were such living that way. But he says, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified and are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that's God's mercy. If it's not anything else, it's God's mercy. Don't ever ask God for justice. but seek him for mercy. Justice for you means hell. And every misery that we see in this world is what we deserve. That's what we deserve. You live apart from God, you shouldn't be surprised. Friends, shouldn't be surprised when trouble comes. But you know how kind God is? Look how kind he was to these unthankful people, and how kind God has been to you all these years. You have ignored him and ignored his word. My Bible says he causes his sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And every day, but friends, there is a day when God will not be found. This is why my Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to him while he is near. May the Lord bless his word and grant mercy to sinners who seek him truly. And when you do, you will make this happy discovery. He gave you the faith. Yes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And to this man thy faith hath made you whole. It's faith in Christ alone. Seek him for that mercy, which is through God's Son. Amen.